We're on page 254. We're doing the bottom bir halacha, right? We had said, Siman Resh Tes Vav Beis, we said that you're supposed to answer Amen to all brachas, even if you don't hear the entire bracha. And we said that as long as you know which bracha is being said, we had a discussion whether if you don't hear the shame, right? So let's see what the bir halacha discusses here. Okay. So I am Mishabur B'mashkos at the beginning of Shishma Haskaras Hashem. So you have to hear the Haskaras Hashem, right? Because who das a Rosh Tami Rabbeinu Yonah, so that's the Rosh Tami Rabbeinu Yonah. V'tei Hashni who das Rashi or Zerua, v'yod posim k'moshi s'tiyan to b'yoshar atzion. Right? Because the other opinion he brings down, right, that even if you just hear the end, right, you don't have to, you still have to answer Amen. Right? Then he quotes all the shitas down there. Right, because again, even if you don't hear the bracha at all, right, and you know which bracha is being said, right, you're still supposed to go ahead and answer Amen. Okay, so the question would you have to hear the shame? Right, we'll see why later on why that's the case. He says, right, so the assumption is we're talking about a bracha that you don't need to be yotze with. Which is a question of answering Amen. Kedisa b'gemar. V'imkein afilo shom asof ha-bracha, gamkin tzarech lanos am yodei eze brachi. So even if you don't hear the end, right, but if you know which bracha is being said, and you say the bracha at the right time, right, that's okay. V'yavshir the kavanas rashi gamkin, maybe that's what Rashi means, ayodei shomei asof ha-bracha, yodei eze bracha amin ha-bracha. That's the key, is to know which bracha is being said. Abel al ha-rosh, v'talmid ha-rein yonash, yukaz tzarech l'shmo, gamkin ha-skaras ha-shem, v'yam ha-varach. But the Rosh who says that you have to actually hear the shame, v'adai kasha, right? That's not so pasha. T'ha medivrein ba'atman le'el perek shalosh shachlu, b'inyon ad'omen yisamucha k'kul yam yachal lanos amin barach ha'shem l'chuyibo, afil ha'shem ha'bracha k'la. Yim they hold that you can make a bracha, can answer amen to any bracha that you know what's being said, even if you don't hear it at all. Right? You just know that the bracha was there. Right? Again, that's the classic case of the, you know, the Anshe Alexandria, right? The Shul in Alexandria, where no one heard a thing, they would just raise the flag, okay? You followed it in their, however, you know, in your mind, right? They didn't have Siddur, you followed in your mind, which bracha was just said, right? So, you know, they don't hear a thing, and yet they're answering on me, right? So he says, Rizeo bein leteretz kama leteretz basham ayin sham tamir bein yonah harash, uleid mistafina avimin de gamla rush tamir bein yonah hachihu. You still only have to know what you're listening to. And even if you don't hear the Mevarach himself, right, you just hear others answering. You hear the end of the bracha, right? You still have to answer Amen, right? So why do they specifically mention you have to hear the shame in the bracha? Because of what they said afterwards, right? And that's this part here, which we're going to see shortly. Right, when it comes to a kusi making a bracha, then hearing haskaras Hashem doesn't help, because who knows who he intends it to mean? Shema kavanos, shema pasal, shemidu lahem b'har reason. Ayin shema to me b'ne yonah. Right, maybe it's referring to the avodah zara that the kusi worship. The chen yeshlam kai gavdu v'harash can say the same for the rush. So therefore, it sounds like that almost everybody would agree that you don't really need to hear the shame, unless the person is kind of suspect. Oje shalmer to le'enyan shame muter lano somi nahenshle yomi yisoma daim yodea mahu ona. So then you have to know what brach you're answering on. Vze os yahud Alexandria shamitzrayim sheniv betzildren, right? The shul in Alexandria where they wave the flags. Av le'enyan shi yehei chayiv lano somi eino chayiv ad shishma askaras hashem yipi hamavarach. Right? So you have to hear it. So he wants to say a different thing, that you could answer Amen, but the chiv of answering Amen, right, is only if you actually hear the shame. The hachiv of the Amen, where we saw yesterday, that what is the chiv of Amen? When Hashem's name is said, so Havu Godel Lelokeinu, by saying Amen. Yomar Chazal Shem Loshen Yisrael, Kishani Yasker Shem Hashem, Atem Havu Godel Lelokeinu, by Amen. So if you mention Hashem's name, Moshe said, if I mention Hashem's name, so you say Amen. Right, so did they mean this? They mean that it was a mak, you know, they mean, because this is a chov versus a non-chov, Right, so again, the pashtus is you have to answer amen, right? If you know what bracha is being said, you know, that raises the whole issue about listening to a bracha over a microphone. So, mistama, it's tolk de dibor of the bracha, right? We hear it on a mic, even though you're not hearing the person saying the bracha, right? You're in the back of a wedding hall, and they said use the mic, and you're hearing it from the amplified sound, right? But at the end of the day, you know which bracha is being said, and you're answering tolk de dibor of the bracha, right? You know, the mic is just replacing the flags in the Alexandria shul. However,
if you don't hear the Shem Hashem, you're not mechuyev, but you can say amen.
Right.
And
right. Yeah, he says that's a possibility in the pshat, right? According to Rashi and many others, you're mechuyev in any case, right? But okay, but then the question is always by the phone, and you know, so they bring down that the phone should be the same, right? The guy's saying a bracha on the phone. Right, I'm hearing it live. So there's two issues with that. So first of all, so Moshe seemed told that was okay to answer amen. Others seem to say it's okay. Shlomo Zalman said that this whole idea of Alexander Shlomo Yitzchayim, you can answer a bracha that you don't even know what he's saying, or you didn't hear it, but you know which bracha is being said. You have to at least be, as they say, in the ballpark. Right? You can't be 100 miles away and somehow be connected to the guy's bracha because it was said over the phone. Right?
So you're not looking over the phone.
He says you shouldn't answer over the phone. Now, that's what Shlomo Zalman, right? So he says the case, yeah, you want to bring a raya from Alexandria, so they were all in the same building, right? So maybe if you're standing, let's say you're hearing, you're at the Siyam Hashas, and you're outside the, you know, MetLife, and you hear Yeshmei Rabba. Okay, so maybe that's also considered it. But if you're at home, right, you're nowhere near it, he felt that that's got no shaychus to the bracha. And there's, and that right, Lazar says that there might be something tummy, not something tummy, it might be tsoa, right, bathrooms and whatever between you and that. Okay, that's a separate issue. And third issue, and this is the issue that is very relevant today, when you hear brachas on either VOIP or on Zoom. Zoom is not always tolke de dibor of when the guy's saying it. I use the example. I remember the rabbi during COVID was giving shiurim on Zoom. And so my wife was on her computer, I was on my phone or whatever. And we weren't listening to the same. You know, one of us was a second or two off, right? So if you're talking about, you know, Amen Yesomas, it's very possible you don't know exactly. You know which bracha was said, but are you answering within 3 seconds of the guy saying it, or is your bracha, you know, been delayed? And the same is true with the stuff over the, over the phone, right? The stuff that travels over the computer, right? The telephone is pretty accurate, I believe, right? But you don't even know what you're listening to, so a combination of a lot of these factors, right? I always just put the phone down if something happens to be making a bracha, right? Not to hear it, right? But there's a lot of different issues that do come up with, you know, listening to a bracha over the phone, right? Again, it starts with the fact that you know which bracha is being said, but there are other issues that kick in. Okay, let's do the next bir halacha as well. So we said you have to hear the bracha mitchilasa viad sofa, right? You have to hear from beginning till the end. Right? He says, excuse me, you don't have to hear the bracha from the beginning to the end. Right? You just have to know which bracha is being said. Right? The kusi, you have to hear the whole bracha. Before they made the gzera, the kusim are like goyim. If a Jew is making the bracha, you don't need to hear the whole thing in order to answer amen. If you don't hear the end, right? So certainly, if you know which bracha is being said, you can definitely answer amen. We're talking about the guy doesn't need the bracha. Right? So again, it sounds like from here that, again, it may not be a chov, but you could answer amen if you didn't even hear the bracha, right? You have the other problematic situation is that you're sitting and learning in shul, right? And chazaras hashatz is going on. Are you supposed to stop every bracha? You have to get up and say yeshua rabba for kaddish. So there, Shlomo Zalman says also you're not obligated to interrupt your learning. You're not a chov in any of these brachas at that point. It's not even your davening. It's you just happen to be learning in the shul. He says if it's going to disrupt your learning, you don't have to do it. All right. So this is
a mitzvah pater in the mitzvah.
I don't know if it's almost a mitzvah pater in a mitzvah, but it's, you know, again, there are some, you know, constraints. So the story, the famous story that's out there is, right, I guess it was the Lavush was sitting and learning, and a kid made a bracha, a kid under bar mitzvah, but made a bracha, and Lavush didn't answer amen. And his Rebbe, the Ma'ariv Bei Rav, I think that was Rebbe was like, put him into cherem, made him wander, you know, put him in gul. I mean, a severe punishment. He says, you didn't answer amen. The kid was in front of you making a bracha, right? So, okay, what does Rishon Dalman do with that story? I'm sure he knows his famous story, right? So I don't know, but what you do see the severity of not answering amen. Someone makes a bracha, he's supposed to answer amen. Now we're going to talk about little kids making brachas. That's a different deal, right? Because maybe not only is no inyan to answer amen, maybe also to answer amen to a little kid's bracha, right? But ultimately we see it is a big deal. And if you hear a bracha, to go ahead and answer amen. You know, for a long time I used to, if I'd come in, right, and I didn't have my tefillin on, and they started brachas. So I'd try to start putting my tefillin on, because it's like, you know, it's good downtime. Like, I was just sitting there frozen. And then I realized I'm missing out on all these amens, right, because in that case you're not allowed to answer amen. So I don't do that anymore. So now I listen to the brachas and get the amens and... What?
Mishap, I'm so
concerned
because
it's okay. No, Baruch Hashem, it works out. But again, it's just very critical to understand that answering amen, even a bracha that you're not chayiv in, even a bracha that so you didn't even hear the whole thing, right? And in the case of the Levosh's case, right, it was even a bracha from a kid. It wasn't even a bar mitzvah boy, right? Then my answering amen is a very, very big thing, very important thing. Okay, let's go back to the top of 255. Right, so we said, second line, Avlim hayam avarach apikairis, o kusi, o tinok. Right, the person making the brach is an apikairis, a kusi or a kid. O hayagadol vishina mebeh brach, so he's an adult. They changed the nusach. Ein onen achar v'amen, you don't answer amen. If you heard the entire bracha, right, you can go ahead and answer amen to that as well.
A proper bracha.
Well, yeah, but let's see what that means. Okay.
That's
next level. Well, okay. We'll see if he means, you know, Shana Sana Sech, like he's saying, you say amen. All right, we'll see if it means that. Okay, let's go to Yud. Right, Avlim Hoya. Right, Midachayel Apikaris Vakusi Bahadi Tinok Vigalo Shashina. Right, so we lumped all three of those together into one halacha. Mash Midachadin, so they have the same halacha. Bechayecha de Betinok Vigalo Shashina. Mash Mafilu Shama Kala Bracha Mi Pihem. Well, yeah, no, I mean, even if you heard the entire bracha, right, we'll see from a kid or someone who changed the nusuch. Right, you don't answer amen. To have Bracha Ilavatala. Kain Hu Hadin Be'elu, the Apikaris and the Kusi. Right, even though the Gemara says that a kusi you could answer if you heard the entire bracha, so you didn't throw in, you know, his har grizim of odizar, whatever. Right, this is before they found the avodazar and har grizim that they were worshiping. Right, but avalachaka, and then so fine. So again, whether we fully trusted them or not, but certainly afterwards. Then we assume everything they do is for their avodah zarah. It is only for their whatever they're worshiping. The Gra says if you hear the entire bracha, you can answer amen. So it becomes, right? So what about a reform or conservative rabbi? So now, first of all, the Mishnah seems to come out that you could answer Amen, right, from the Gra. But assuming like the Shitas that say you can't, so, and this does happen, and we've had it, you know, we've had it here, but it does happen where, you know, you have a reform rabbi whose son or grandson is being bar mitzvah in Orthodox shul, and obviously he can read Hebrew, and probably in his youth he knew how to make the brachas and did make brachas, right? So are you allowed to give him an aliyah? Becomes a big issue, right? We tend not to, unless there's a heavy-duty Darche Shalom issue, right? We will not give that person aliyah. Someone who's not firm at all, you know, it's always, you know, Reb Chaim, someone asked Reb Chaim, you know, about giving him a non-firm person aliyahs, and he goes, no, what about Hagbah? What do you want to do this for? You know, Psicha? No, don't give him anything. What does he deserve to get any kiblut? Right? So that was Reb Chaim's position, right? Okay, so often, you know, you find yourself in a situation where I'll start Kei Shalom, you have to give it. But when it becomes a reformer, conservative rabbi, so the question is, there are some that are mamish apikarsim, right? That they're actually preaching, you know, bad stuff. And there are other ones that are just, you know, it's a job. You know, what they believe, don't believe. They're making the bracha, highly unlikely that they're having in mind, you know, some female, you know, deity or whatever. So, but in any case, right, but he brings down here that Rav Moshe held that since they're not, their kavanah is not l'shamayim, right? But again, I don't know that the typical reform and conservative rabbi today has any das. I mean, he's, you know, is the guy coming to his grandson's bar mitzvah and saying, ah, they're going to give me an aliyah and I'm going to go have in mind, you know, I don't know what they're going to have in mind.
But they don't believe in God.
Right.
So what they're saying is like, so that's pretty bad.
So they're just saying the words.
Yeah.
But they're not having in mind, you know, Buddha, right?
Yeah, they might believe in some kind of God.
They don't believe
Jewish
in God,
God.
They talk about.
That's what I'm saying.
God to Moses?
No, or the God, or the God's a female, or who knows, whatever they're thinking. But most of the time they're not thinking, right? Most people don't think, right? And generally, right, if a person is not a, you know, a clergyman, we assume that, you know, Tinek Shenishba is just, you know, doesn't really know what he's saying or why he's saying it, right? But yeah, and yet you do have that situation all the time. And again, it's certainly preferable not to give them aliyahs and have them make brachas. But again, you have here, the Mishnah Berurah brings down that that if you hear them make the entire bracha, you answer amen. Now, that's assuming they know how to make the bracha or know how to say it properly or whatever. You know, we were talking yesterday about, or 2 days ago, about saying Li Olam, I Melech Olam. There was a kid in Miami down for down in brachas, right? And it always sounded like this: Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Hashem. So we call it, like the whole Olam got disappeared in every single, you know, breath. I wanted to record it and play it for him. Literally, you cannot hear the whole Olam. Sometimes you heard a ha, maybe you heard a mem. I don't know what you heard. So when a reform guy gets a bracha, so unless they, you know, sometimes the non-from grandparents are so proud that they, you know, that they remember the bracha from their youth. They just say it all out loud. But it's an issue, and it's an issue that you have to be, you know, cognizant of, right? And you do have the growth to rely on that you can answer amen to his bracha. But again, I think the preferable position is just not to give him an aliyah. Okay, and then we say in Yeral, Vashina. Bedavka kishashina, bovin delyotza mehabracha machmazev, harim kibrach bracha batala, dasalanos omen acharav. Right? If he's mamish making a bracha. Now, if you go through all Shulchan Aruch, Chelek Aleph, and Beis, right, there are certain changes that do work. And we say, oh, b'di'evit, if you said this bracha, you said that bracha, that nosach, it will work. But Lemais, if you say something totally different that you're not yotze at all, according to anybody, so that's what that's the case we're talking about here. Did you dab my ready?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so we're going to try to stop at 10:40 while you are, if you haven't dab my ready. Okay. Okay. And Yud Beis, Shama Kol HaBracha. Right? And if you're answering Amen after a guy, if you heard the whole bracha. So he says, "She'ein derech lavi gilulim l'chavin lavodus gilulim kishemask Hashem." They're going to say, you know, Hashem's name. If they say Hashem's name, right, and he says Nirbe is Kivin Shenu Aduk Lavodas Kilulim, right, they're not, you know, so strong with their Avodah Zarah worship. Okay, so it's Rishus. Now this means, let's see if he says, right, let's do the Ber Halachos here. And then he says, Chayv Lanos Achrav Amen, we did that one. No. Chayv Lanos, we did that one? No. Chayv Lanos Achrav Amen. So these are the first cases where you have to answer. Amen. I am a Taz Muchmaneshu Sobe de Gamma Tormod Betz Machiv, Sobe de Lenin Chiyuv, and Daf Peshishma Minokal Bracha. Right? We saw it's a Machlokas, what exactly creates the Chiyuv. You have to hear the Shem Hashem, the whole Bracha. Right? So again, even though you're not obligated, but if you may, there's a chiyuv of kishem Hashem ekra at some point. Right, they had a hard time understanding why. Okay, and then hamavarach apikaris. Ayin leil simin lametes. Elach der maskol shekisavon apikaris. Right, the film was written by an apikaris. Upashit the poshe yisrael she'enem aminim divrei chazal heim kekusim kodem shegazru aleihem. Right, a poshe Yisrael that doesn't believe in the Maimari Chazal, so we're going to treat them like kusim. Tzarach lanos achrim omei kishomu kal bracha v'im. Fear the whole thing. Right, again, this is before we knew they were real about the Zarnix. Zeh dafkli niyazomei levad. Right, that's only for omei. Right, for writing tefillin, we're never going to let someone who does not believe in, in the Maimari Chazal, especially right, we said kisidron. Right. You know, if you erase something and you write it out of order, the whole tefillin is puzzled. They're not going to throw away a pair of tefillin because of that. So they'll just erase it and fix it and move on, right? So for answering amen, so again, they can't be maybe worse than an apikaris, a kusti that you hear the whole thing. Okay, but lina sirif l'shari davar shabgdush l'odav mikas hakarayim. Again, we had a whole discussion, and that's the same discussion with. And, you know, including, Tinok Shinishbaz in the Minyan, right? You know, is that a problem, right? They're different, machlokas, who you can include in the Minyan, right? We know that Chabad will have no problem making a Minyan with one from guy and nine, guys who know nothing, right? And that's fine, right? Tinok Shinishbaz, others are like, you shouldn't have that, but, generally today we are more makel, especially in places where you don't have options. Who was just telling me a story about a guy was someplace. Oh, I'm telling a guy. I was somewhere up in the mountains in Canada, and Chabad guy asked him if he can come and join, help make his minyan, right? And so the guy shows up there. And there's like three guys, and so the guy says, "Okay, I'm gonna go to the other place." So he says, why don't you come? So the Chabad guy says, if I came here to make a minyan, then I'd go there. I came to do kiruv. I'm not here to be in a minyan or make part of a minyan. So different philosophies on how you deal with all this stuff. Okay, so then we said, if you hear the last thing, if you hear a guy make a bracha. So he ne das kam achram shadas aram einu achram b'chol gav. You never answer on me. Mikal Malkum near to Lamaisi Ishlina Gohakal, right? You can be make Achray Diyash post, Mshasarm Dafilo Shamakal Bracha Gamkin Tarnachalanos. Kimukh Mishami, there are sheets that hold even if you don't hear the whole Bracha. The Chaim Pasuk Hagrol Adina, Yakain Dailanim Nachmish Tzarach Shishma Kuvo. So we're Machmir to hear the whole Bracha from the guy, so there's no, whispering, there's no. But where this is relevant is the typical case where guy gives you a Bracha. He says you should live and be well. So the answer Amen. Right, you heard all the words, right?
Chayev.
I don't know if it's chayev. We talked about,
askaras Hashem.
Right, there's no askaras Hashem. There's not. We talked about answering amen to.
God is not considered askaras Hashem.
What?
He just said, may you be.
Right. And even if he says, may God grant you good health.
Oh, that's
right.
Better.
Even if he says that. Right, so we already said here before that right in Mishnah Berurah Tes, Kishomei Hashem Espal Dover Mevarach Yisrael Fiyu Blo Askaras Hashem Chayev Lanos Amen. right? So chayiv.
Like a Christian?
So
Trinity or whatever?
So the question is, I don't know that it's going to be the same chayiv by a guy. No, I don't know if a guy is going to create a chayiv that you have to answer, but you certainly could. Don't say, okay, it's a guy, I'm affirming somehow something bad, right? You know, but that's okay.
What if you sneeze?
Right, that's a very common.
Bless you.
What, do you sneeze at the end of his bracha?
No, God bless you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that happens, and I always say, just say thank you.
Does she do your same thank you? You
don't, yeah.
You don't want to say amen?
Amen? No, I just say thank you. It's just, I mean, they went out of their way to, you know, sometimes it's very uncomfortable when, like, literally, goyim are very big into the sneezing thing. And you know, it sometimes very uncomfortable because all of a sudden you sneeze in the middle of a meeting and 20 people go, whoa. So, okay, thank you.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay. Gimel. Critical. V'hod ein onen amen achet tinok. We said before, you're not allowed to answer amen by a tinok. That's dafke b'shosh shalom and brachos on the rabbi. That's when he's learning his brachos in front of his rebbe. Shemoter l'amen l'tinokos ha'brachos k'tiknon afal p'shem mevarch l'matal. Right? This is what we saw before. Shas alima. We saw this before, that's not a problem of saying Hashem's name when you're teaching them how to make brachos, right? But if someone listens to you teaching a kid how to make a bracha, right, a five-year-old kid, you know, how to make a shakol niyeh bidvaro, and then he wants to use that, we said that was the case even if you're not eating or drinking with the kids, right? Now, whether you teach them the brachas without them having food in front of them, okay, that's a separate thing, but you don't have to have the food. But l'mais, it's a bracha l'vatala. Right, someone listens to you. He's not yotze. Okay.
When you're teaching them,
when you're teaching the kid, and you make a baruch hatzah, even though I'm allowed to do it, and even though the kid's eating, maybe, right? But it's not a real bracha. Okay. So, and even if the kid's not, if the kid's eating and he's a baruch chinuch, then it would be a real bracha. Mm-hmm. But we're talking the kid's not even eating or anything; just teaching him how to make brachas. So, in this case, it's a bracha levatala, right? He says, "Avol b'shal shehem mevarch and lift toras atzmon." Right? If they're making a bracha to pater themselves, kivin to bnei chinuchim, onan achareim amen. If they're bnei chinuch, very critical words, right? B'chem b'shal shehem haftar beis haknesses. Right? We know that kids were allowed to get maftar, right? So once a kid turned, you know, whatever. So, like, I know that the Hashkam Minyan, Young Israel, for a while, they'd give 12-year-old kids maftar. All right, you're allowed to do that. Right? Found out years later, probably, you know, 50 years after my father's bar mitzvah, 60 years later, right, that we always knew he had Parshas Naso, but he told me one time, and by the way, that was the Shabbos before my bar mitzvah. He says the Shabbos after was someone else took it. So the rabbi says, you know, tradition is you can do it the Shabbos before. Always knew it was the haftarah. So,
we had his bar mitzvah the week before?
The Shabbos before, the Shabbos thing. Okay.
Would you do that? No one would ever do that here?
They would do it here.
Oh, they would.
They have done it. Yeah. When Moshe Katz's bar mitzvah was Shabbos, right? His birthday was Tainus Esa, was Yud Aleph. So the Shabbos after was Shabbos, and Purim was Motzei Shabbos. So, which means anybody who came for Shabbos is sort of stuck here for Purim night. So he has a kid in his class who's exactly the same age, born the same day, and made the bar mitzvah the Shabbos before. He was in the yeshiva gedol. He wasn't doing anything other than getting mafter anyway, and they were okay with that.
But Moshe didn't.
No, we weren't okay with that. Okay, Yid Gimel Shalomed. So when a kid's learning, Ratz Lomer De'Ein Shayach Lomer Amen La'Ames L'Kaim Etiber Mevarach Achrei De'Ein Shem Bracha Lav. To answer Amen to something where there's no real bracha, right? What do you, you know, just like we said that I make a bracha for you. It's a bracha levatala, but you answered amen to it. It's like you said the bracha. The answer is no. You can't affirm something that is sheker, even though it's the words may be accurate, but it's a bracha levatala. Let's do one more. Let's stop. Okay, you know what? Okay. I never know what time these clocks are.
39.
Okay, let's do one more. Levatala. Ratzlam shalom and haravi mamah bracha shalom b'zmano. He's teaching them brachas. Right, they're not eating or whatever. He's teaching them bracha on a lulav. He's teaching them brachas on the Torah. You can teach him the brachas. And he can say Hashem's name. Right? They're obligated to teach him properly. And that's why it always bothers me when they teach kids bar mitzvah, and they teach him the Haftorah, and they teach him Baruch Ato Hashem. And 40% of those kids will get up there and say Baruch Ato Hashem. Oh, Ado. Oh, Ado. And then they'll do it 3 more times. And, right? Not only is that wrong, bad chinuch, but it's also you're supposed to teach him properly. Okay, only for the kid. Okay, you know, we're going to stop here because we've got a few more stuff on that particular line as well.